Welcome to Threads of Sustainability. I'm your host, Bridget O'Flaherty. With climate change and environmental impacts becoming a common narrative in our daily lives, it seems like a great time to explore what sustainability looks like in the quilting, fiber, and textile world. We'll hear from creatives, makers, manufacturers, and producers from all over the world to discover what sustainability looks like to them and find out how they're contributing to a sustainable future. We will celebrate positive steps people are taking, no matter how small. Whether you're a hobbyist or a pro, you can bring sustainability into your practice. Join me as we take a deep dive into the environmental, social, and economic impacts with Threads of Sustainability. Welcome to another episode of Threads of Sustainability. I am your host, Bridget O'Flaherty, and this episode is kind of near and dear to my heart. I am talking with Alana Frosk from Okotex. And Okotex is a certification body that has a few different standards that work under them in the textile world. And we get into some of the deep weeds of what those certifications mean, some of the thresholds, some of the things that they're trying to make sure are happening when their labeling is being applied to a product or material. And really, this standard is really addressing harmful substances in textiles and making sure that they aren't there. But they go to great lengths to test and to validate their findings. And it was just such a really interesting conversation to kind of dig into what that certification means and why it's important to us as textile artists and quilters. So it's something that we can look for when we are out doing our shopping and knowing then that we've got a standard applied to the material or product that we're purchasing that is actually validated and verified. Anyway, we dig into what all of that means and some of the different ideas and data that comes from that and some of the different companies that are using these standards and the popularity of this particular standard. And there are some products that you might be familiar with as quilters. There's Aurifil thread and Majira threads. There's other products out there as well that have that Okotex standard 100 applied to it. Anyway, I got into some of the details with Alana, and I hope you enjoy this conversation. I know it's not something that we really, many of us necessarily want to jump into to understand what certifications are, but I think it's great to have these kinds of options. Upcycling is really awesome when it comes to sustainability and recycling and repurposing, but I think there are options around new materials as well. And I think that we're starting to see more and more demand for transparency from consumers. And we want to see this kind of product in on our shelves and available to us. So anyway, I hope you enjoy the episode and don't forget to let me know what you think. So I'm going to welcome you to Threads of Sustainability, and I'm excited to have you here because you are the first person that I've had from a certification body to talk to us about what sustainability looks like and why third-party labeling is so important and why we need to care about this kind of stuff. So I'm really excited to unpack and you're going to tell me how to pronounce the standard that you're representing, because it's a difficult one. I think for some people, we just don't know how to say it. And anyway, I'm going to welcome you, and it's Alana Frosk, right?
Correct.
Great. Okay. Tell me about the standard.
Okay. So thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So there's a lot to talk about. There's essentially two main.
Okay. Wait, how do we pronounce it?
Okay, so Okotex.
Okotex, okay.
Okotex certifications and product labels. That's how it's pronounced.
Okay.
And there's two main consumer labels that are in the marketplace.
Okay.
And the first one is Okotex Standard 100.
Yeah.
And the second one is Okotex Made in Green. And the first one, Okotex Standard 100, is a product label that stands for safety products. So it lets consumers know that the products are safe because they've been tested for harmful substances.
Okay.
And the second one is Okotex Made in Green, and that's a sustainability label. So that's okay. important because it lets the consumers know not only are the products also safe because they've also been tested for harmful substances, but there's an extra element of sustainability with another certification where additional certifications have taken place at the facility level to ensure okay. that the products are sustainable as well.
And so it's not only that one, we'll dig into it a little bit more, and we're going to talk a lot about the Standard 100, but that the Made in Green one, it's addressing some more of the social issues, right? It's dealing with some of the labor conditions and labor fair trade, I guess, as it were, in terms of the wages for workers and that kind of stuff. Is it deal with that?
Yes. So there's an element of social responsibility, ensuring that the workers are being treated fairly and, okay. and working in safe environments.
Okay.
There's an element of product safety, and there's also a way to show supply chain transparency, which is also
okay. Okay. And so where did Okotex, where did it come from? What did it stem from? Where's it come from? Why are we thinking about Okotex, and why do we need a standard like that?
Right. So the Okotex Association was established 30 years ago, and it really was established as a way to help consumers have a product label that shows them that their textile products are safe from harmful substances.
And what does that mean? What does safe from harmful substances mean? What does that mean?
So, you know, we're so concerned about, or a lot of us are concerned about the food that we eat.
Yeah.
But we don't often think about the textiles that are touching our skin day and night.
Right.
And important to think about because there's a lot of chemicals that are used to process textiles.
Yeah.
So chemicals are necessary to process textiles. And so when a chemical is used on a textile product, it leaves the textile facility either on the textile product or in the waterways.
Right, and right.
Sometimes there can be a residual of a harmful substance left on the textile, and you don't know it's there by looking at it. The only way you can know it's there is by testing it. And so okay. 30 years ago, the Okotex Association developed a certification where they put together a list of harmful substances and started testing textiles for those harmful substances to make sure that the textiles were safe. And at the time, there were 100 substances on this restricted substance list, which is the list of substances right. that we test against. And since then, every year, that list of substances is reevaluated. And now there are over 1,000 substances
wow.
on that list.
Oh, okay. Wow. So they test for those 1,000 substances. And is this done annually? Like, are these, so the manufacturers or the producers that are going for this certification, are they testing their products every year?
Yes. So it's an annual certification.
Okay.
So they're testing every single year. And not only are they testing every single year, but for a finished product like a pillow or a blanket or a garment, the finished product and every single component must be tested.
So the thread, the whatever.
It's not only the fabric, it's the sewing thread, it's the sewing labels, the fiber fill. And what's really important okay. about that is because even though the fabric may be the main component of the product, if one component, like maybe the sewing label, if that has a harmful substance on it, then the product itself is not safe. So we want right. to make sure that labeled products, every single component is tested and certified.
Okay, so let's come back to talking about those substances. So they have 1,000 substances, they're testing annually, and it's all the components of the product. So for example, I know that in the sewing world, we have Madeira thread and Orafil threads are both Okotex certified. And so those aren't necessarily, because they're cotton fibers, but not necessarily organic. They're just safe from these harmful substances. Is that how that's working?
As long as they're certified and they have a label on them, every single product that's certified comes with a label, and every label has a number, and those numbers can actually be validated online.
Okay.
So that's something that's very unique to the OKTEX system and important to consumers, because consumers want to be able to validate the certifications, yeah, know that they're true, because there's a lot of greenwashing out there.
So yes,
you can take that number, you can go to the OKTEX.com website, to the label check, type in that number, and see if it's a valid certificate. And it will tell you if it's valid and what's in the scope of the certificate. Now, if that, so you talked about organic cotton, or we can certify any type of product. It doesn't need to be organic, but sometimes even organic cotton, if it's
also getting
away, okay, it can have some sort of substance on it. But what we do with, let's say, for example, a cotton product, we may test it for certain substances like pesticides and make sure that if it's an organic cotton, there were no pesticides that were used on it.
So right. Okay. So they can have both labels with that sometimes.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That's cool. And so tell me a little bit more about, so you mentioned greenwashing, and greenwashing isn't something that I've really talked a lot about in my podcast yet. And so can we have a conversation about greenwashing?
Sure, absolutely.
Are you finding, products out there that are claiming to have your standard, but they don't? Like, is that kind of fraud happening? Is there people saying things that they shouldn't be saying? How do you monitor that?
There could be cases of that. If we find, a product that claims to be OKTEX certified, we would make sure that it is. And if it's not, we would talk to the company, and if it's not certified,
yeah,
usually a company may use a label incorrectly and we would work with them to correct it.
Okay. Okay.
That's normally what would happen, but usually what happens in the marketplace with greenwashing is companies will claim that they're sustainable or they're right, safe, and they don't have anything to substantiate their claims.
Right.
So using OKTEX is a great way to substantiate claims so that they're not greenwashing, because you want to have a testing body or some sort of certification to substantiate the claims that you're making. You don't want to just say it's green and have no reason to back up what you're saying. And
so
have a third-party certification like OKTEX,
yeah,
test every single year, and provide a label that you can then go online, type in a number, and see that it is actually valid, gives consumers the knowledge to know and the confidence to know that it's a valid certification.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a greenwash claim.
Okay, so yeah, explain a little bit about what third party means. I know what that means, but maybe you can explain a little bit what that means.
So a third party would be an independent company that is hired to do independent testing. So when one company is claiming some sort of claim, whether it's a quality claim or a sustainability claim, they can say anything that they want. But is it true?
Right.
How do you know it's true? If they hire another independent company or a third party to test and provide documentation or certification, then you know, because it's another company that's doing the testing,
they don't have a vested interest in it. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So you wouldn't have your OKTEX officer in your own business. You would hire a separate OKTEX officer.
Correct. So there's 17 independent testing institutes that are authorized to conduct OKTEX certifications.
Okay.
They all follow the same exact standards.
Okay.
All around the world. I work with one of them, Hohenstein. And we all follow the same exact standard. So if a company comes to us and says, oh, you know, can we have an exception because, you know, we're working towards whatever, the answer is always no.
Right.
There's
right,
never any exceptions because we all follow the same exact rules and regulations.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's super cool. I mean, I'm a big fan of labeling and certifications. In my other world, my other business that I work in, I work with housing labeling and certifications, like Energy Star, LEED, R2000, that kind of stuff. And it's so important to have that data to have the information of who's doing what and how are we actually making a difference? Like, do you guys have a knowledge of the number of people that are participating in your program now?
Yeah, there's over 21,000 companies that have OCATEC certifications.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Over 235,000 certificates have been issued.
Since the start of the program and 30 years ago.
Yeah, since the start of the program. And many companies will certify everything that they manufacture.
Okay.
Some companies will certify only one product or certain products for certain customers that are specifying them.
Yeah.
Some companies, as I mentioned, will certify everything. So there's so many products that are certified all over the world. And and what's exciting is that the labeling is growing and there's more and more consumer awareness.
Yeah.
It's becoming more important to consumers. They want to know that their products are safe and they want to know that their products are being made more sustainable. They want to have those labels on the products to help guide them to make
smart
decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Like there are a bunch of other certifications out there, right? Like there's the Global Organic Textiles, there's the Better Cotton Initiative, there's the Global Recycling Standard. There's a whole bunch of other, that's just to name a few. There's lots of them out there.
Yeah, there's a bunch. There's not that many. They specialize. So GOTS is specializing in organic cotton.
Yeah.
Recycling is obviously
on the synthetic sides. Yeah. Recycling.
With the OCATEC, with the Standard 100 certification, it could be any type of textile product.
Right.
What we want to make sure is that the textile product is safe, regardless of what fiber content is used
right.
in it, what finish is used in it, how it's processed. We want to make sure that it's safe from harmful substances.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that, and in order to be safe from harmful substances, in many cases, you have to use safe chemicals. So what may be called or considered green chemistry. So chemicals that are safe. And if you're using or if a facility is using green or safe chemicals, then the products that are being made with them are safe. The workers that are making them are also, you know, not exposed to harmful substances. And then potentially the emissions that are coming out of the facility or the waters that are coming out of the facility, the wastewater is also safe. So
yeah.
It's good all around.
And so all these other systems are out there as well. And there's a cost to the people participating in those, right? Like you're not doing it out of the goodness of your heart. They pay for that certification, right?
Yes. But the OCATEC system is a very cost-effective system because it's a modular system, which enables the cost to be shared throughout the value chain. And the way it's done in the most efficient way is if each supplier throughout the value chain has an OCATEC certificate.
Okay, can you... I'm gonna stop you there because there's you're using terms that you're totally familiar with, and I understand what you're saying. But can you explain what the value chain is?
Yeah. So, if for example, let's say a towel manufacturer. So, a towel manufacturer will have certain suppliers through their value chain,
okay.
which is the companies that are involved in making the different components of that towel. So
okay.
you may have a fiber supplier, a yarn supplier, a sewing thread supplier,
okay.
a label supplier. So the different suppliers in the supply chain that are involved in making the product. So
okay.
each of the different suppliers that are involved in making that product get their individual products certified, then the costs are shared throughout the value chain. And so it becomes a very affordable certification.
Okay. And so, yeah, that final product is able to take advantage of the fact that those other certifications already exist.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so
okay.
And so that's why you'll see OCATEC certified labels anywhere from Walmart to, you know, better department stores. So
okay.
you can
okay.
put it on any type of product. It really isn't a cost a certification that is cost prohibitive.
Right. It's not a barrier, because that is one of the things that we run up against in certifications generally. Like, I think across all industries, there's barriers to participants actually wanting to invest because they're not getting the return on investing in that certification, because they are very, very expensive and they are annual. They have to continually do it. And there's no demand from the consumer to get that specific label. They like to see a label, but not necessarily maybe that one specific label that's really expensive. So it becomes sort of a competitive market in some ways, right? And in terms of how expensive those are and the value of that for the producer. And it becomes about the label rather than about what it is we're actually trying to do, which is reduce the harmful substances and have safe fabrics and have sustainability. And it becomes about the cost instead, which isn't necessarily productive, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah. And so where do you see the label moving towards? Like, you've got this great system established and you've got companies starting to come on board more and more now. Do you see that? Do you see it? Is it just that it's going to be adding more harmful substances to the list, or is there going to be a shift and change in what that certification looks like, or additional certifications? Do you see that changing?
So in the U.S. market, we see a lot of labels in home textiles.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it starting to grow also in apparel products.
Okay.
And so I think that you'll see it more and more in apparel products. The apparel supply chain is a little bit more complex.
Yes.
Textiles. And so it will take a little bit more time probably. But I think that's where you'll see the most growth.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty exciting, really, because that's one area that we are like, we're really impacting the planet with fast fashion and with that textile waste. And if that textile waste still embodies all of those harmful substances, then it's just going into the landfills and into the waterways, and it's not actually being taken care of. So hopefully we don't have to think of it as waste in the future. Maybe we can figure out how to, I don't know how that's, I know that's nothing to do with your standard, but that to me is one of the biggest things, is to figure out how to maybe slow the consumer down and slow down that textile waste, because it's such a big part of the problem of the textile industry right now. So,
right.
Anyway, I know that's not really what you guys are all about. Tell me a little bit more about the research that gets done on the different harmful substances that you are actually saying can't be in the products. What happens? How do they decide that?
So every year we reevaluate the list of substances, and it's based on new production methods that are used in the industry, and based on regulations that are happening around the world. And so based on that, we assess our restricted substance list, the list of substances that we're testing against, and we may add substances or we may change limit values. We often will look at substances and put them under observation, perhaps for a year, to see what's happening in the marketplace. We often will know what regulations are coming up. And so we will start testing. We'll start testing textiles to the coming regulations to help the industry understand where they fall with those substances that are going to be banned or have restrictions. And so that they know if they have textiles that have those substances in them, they can identify that and then work to start reducing them or find alternatives.
Okay. That's super cool. And we talked a little bit about the Made in Green earlier on, because that's one of your other certifications, right? That's one. And you guys work really hard with your manufacturers to do that. Can you tell me a little bit more about how that process works? There's like six steps involved in the certification. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So Made in Green is a little bit different from Standard 100. So Standard 100 stands for product safety, and Made in Green goes a little bit more above and beyond. It's really a product label that is a combination of certifications. So in order for a product to get the Made in Green label, the product must also be Standard 100 certified. So we know that it's been tested for harmful substances, but it must be manufactured in a facility that's gone through a sustainability facility level certification that we call STEP. And so the STEP certification, it's a very comprehensive sustainability certification. We break it down into six different what we call modules. We look at the facility, and only manufacturing facilities can go through this, manufacturing facilities that have workers that are making a product. And we look at chemical management at the facility. We look at environmental management. We look at environmental performance, social responsibility, quality management, health and safety. We want to make sure that they're environmentally friendly. Processes that are taking place at the facility. We want to make sure that the workers are being treated fairly and they have socially responsible work practices in place.
And when did you introduce this new certification? Because the other one's 30 years old.
So that's been in the marketplace probably around 8 years.
Okay. And what kind of uptake is happening with that? And probably not the same numbers as your other one because you've been around that longer.
Same. So there's about probably over around 8,000 Made in Green labels.
Cool. That's awesome. So, and are you seeing that primarily in North America and Europe? Is it spread out evenly?
It's all over the world. And that is also something that is growing. It's not growing as fast as, you know, we don't have as many obviously as Standard 100.
Yeah.
Because it's more encompassing.
Yeah.
But there are more and more companies that are getting STEP certification. So as more and more companies get STEP certification, more and more products can be labeled.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah, I love the idea of having that bigger picture to the whole thing and making sure that the workers' environment is safe as well. It's a big part of that whole sustainability piece, right? Where we've got our people, profit, planet matrix, where we're taking, and we want to make sure that our people are well taken care of and the planet is well taken care of, and that the benefits we're getting from whatever it is we're doing is actually serving those other two things as well, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so this is sort of a side, I guess. How did you get into this industry? Where are you coming from?
So I started in the industry when I was in high school. I worked for my aunt who had her own company. It was a company that made coats and loungewear.
Oh, cool.
So I live in New Jersey and her company was in the city in New York City. And so when I was in high school in the summers, I used to go and work for her. Started out as a shipping clerk and managing invoices. And then I decided to go to FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology in Manhattan. And I studied textiles. And then I got a job working as an intern at DuPont for their textile and apparel division. And that launched my career. And so I've been working in the textile industry ever since.
And so what made you want to be involved with the certification body versus staying with somebody like DuPont and staying with manufacturing production?
So when I was working at DuPont, I worked in the apparel and fiber division, but I've always worked with fabrics and I always work with brands and retailers. I worked with suppliers throughout the value chain. And so, I actually started up a testing facility in the New York office where we were testing fabrics to meet different testing parameters. So it was actually very closely aligned to what I'm now in working together with companies throughout the value chain, educating about the OPEX certifications and helping them implement the certifications in their facilities and working with them on labeling products. So it's actually, in a way, very similar.
Yeah. And it's just been sort of a smooth transition Yeah,
it happened.
Yeah. And was there a driver for you on the environmental side, or it just was an opportunity that you saw that you wanted to get into it?
It was an opportunity. I when I was working at DuPont, I also had a role working in compliance. So it was okay. Something that I was very interested in.
Nice. Yeah. That's super cool. I mean, I love this. I obviously get a little bit nerdy about the whole labeling and certification side of things and policies and processes and deal with all of that. It's something that I really enjoy understanding. And I think that it's really worthwhile investigating and putting into systems like this, because it does give accountability, and it does give, it not only gives credibility, but it also gives accountability to the people that are making that production. There's lines that they have to meet, and they have to actually show and prove that they're making those efforts to go in that direction. I think it's really important that we have those kinds of certifications in all industries.
Right. And it's so important for the future. I think any company that wants to survive going forward needs to pay attention to this.
I think so too. I think that we're going to see more and more demand from the general public for this kind of accountability and saying, yeah, no, you need to show me that you're actually doing better things, do better things.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as consumers understand these different product labels, they look for the product labels and they start demanding, when they purchase more and more products that have the labels, then more and more retailers start, you know, providing products with the labels, and that's, you know, that's what pushes the market towards that.
There's so much power in the consumer. We often think that we don't have that kind of power, but the consumer has so much power to drive how the market actually changes. Yeah, I think so.
The other thing that I'll mention about the Made in Green labels is that there is an element of supply chain transparency.
Okay. What does that look like?
So, as I mentioned before, every single Okotex label has a number on it that can be validated.
Yeah.
So consumers can go to the Okotex.com to the label check and type in the number and see that it's a valid certificate. With the Made in Green labels, there's additional information that can be learned when you go to the website. You could type in the number and you can also see into the supply chain. So what will happen is you'll see a map, and the map will show icons, and each icon will represent a different supplier within the supply chain of that particular product.
That's cool.
It gives a glimpse into where the different components were manufactured for that particular product. And so it helps to build a sense of trust with the manufacturing facilities and the brands.
Sure.
Because if you can see where they're making their product, it helps to trust them.
Yeah, absolutely. And so is there that same kind of modular connection with the Made in Green as well? So if they're taking advantage of people who parts that have already gotten the standard 100, that's all pulled into that. But those, they don't necessarily have to be Made in Green. They just have to hit the standard 100.
So all the different components have to be standard 100. That's correct.
Right.
And then there are requirements for which facilities within the supply chain must have the STEP sustainability certification.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so the requirements for that are the facilities that do the cut and sew or the making up of the product, and the facilities that are involved in any wet or chemical processing of the main chemical or main components of the product. So that usually would be a fabric manufacturer, or, you know, a company that's putting the color or finishing on a product. And the reason we have those requirements are because those facilities are the facilities that have the biggest impact on the environment and on the workers.
Sure. That's why I was asking. It's like, oh, well, if one has that, do the other ones also have to have it? So that's awesome that you do have that requirement. And so, but there might be a few that don't have to have the full Made in Green labeling if there are smaller parts to it. and right. dry if products.
They make up less than 5% of the okay. product or aren't involved in any, you know, wet chemical processing,
okay.
then they don't need to meet that requirement.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Cool. And so if somebody is wanting to go and find out, where would they find out about Okotex?
So they can either go to okotex.com, which is OEKO-TEX.com.
Yeah.
Or Hohenstein.us. So Hohenstein.us. Okay. So either website has a lot of information that I think that they'll find really valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always good to be able to go and dig further, right? I know that I do. I know that I do.
There's videos and there's lots of documents and
awesome
information about the different certifications and the product labels.
And so if somebody is wanting to make sure if they see a product, it's a fairly simple and obvious label on the product that says Okotex?
Yes. It's a simple label. They'll see there's an Okotex logo and okay. there always will be a number.
Okay.
And the number is what they can type into the label check at okotex.com.
Okay.
And they can see if it's valid or not.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I've started noticing the Okotex more and more and starting seeing it. Like I said, when I went to a quilt show in the summertime, I started seeing some of the thread companies having Okotex and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize they had a sustainability label to them. And so I was pretty excited to see that. And I'd love to see some fabric manufacturers that are there. I don't know of any that are in the quilt world at this point, but they may be there. Maybe some people here in listening can point that out to me. And I'd love to know about that. Do you guys have a directory that they can actually like search fabric companies and find a list of fabric companies, or do they have to do it by label?
Yes, there's a directory as well.
Okay.
And that's available at okotex.com and it's called the Buying Guide.
Okay.
And so the Buying Guide is a listing of all of the companies that have Okotex certifications.
Okay.
So really easy to use. Anybody can go to the Buying Guide and select a certification, whether it's Standard 100 or Made in Green or STEP, which is the Sustainability Facility Level Certification, and search for companies that have those certifications in different locations, different countries.
Cool.
And get a list of those companies.
Cool. That's really cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for this.
And the same thing with, we also have a certification called Eco Passport, and the Eco Passport certification is a certification that where we certify chemicals to ensure that these chemicals are safe. So if a company is using Eco Passport certified chemicals, they're green chemistries that are safe, and it ensures that
they'll get their Okotex Standard 100
certified. And
okay, that's super cool. Like you said, that whole modular thing—it's going right back to those raw materials, and able to ensure that what they're using and in their processing is going to actually meet those standards for you.
Right. So, if a company wants to get their product certified, if they're using pre-certified fabrics and pre-certified chemistries, then it helps to ensure that the product will be safe, and then they can get their own certification, and it helps with the cost of theirs. So it's an efficient cost certification.
Cool. That's awesome. I love knowing more about this whole system because I was trying to read it and understand it, and I wasn't fully grasping everything because there's so many labels that I read about and so many certifications. So it's just good to hear. Okay. This makes sense to me now. And I get to go and look for products that have the Okotex standard on them.
Right. Now what will happen is when you're in the stores, you're going to start seeing more and more labels now that you know about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like when you want to buy a red car, you start seeing red cars everywhere. It's like, there's so many red cars.
Exactly.
I hope it's like that. I am excited to see the way sustainability and this idea around having safer, better products for ourselves is really shifting in the public's perception. And I think that the demand is really growing and it's exciting to see that change starting to happen in industry now too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. And have you guys seen, this is another side question. Has the increase in interest in the Standard 100 certification, has it been growing exponentially year over year, or has it been pretty steady growth?
It's been a steady growth year over year ever since the inception 30 years ago.
Okay. So it's not that suddenly people are jumping on this bandwagon. It's just been consistent growth the whole time.
It's been consistent growth.
That's awesome. Year over year.
Yep.
Well, and a lot of that speaks to the validity of the standard, right? It's like, okay, no, this is just growing and people see what it's worth. And it's not just a marketing scheme. It's got some real teeth to it, you know, and people are willing to engage with it because of that history.
Exactly. Exactly. And as more and more companies use the certification, it gets easier to implement it.
Right.
With companies. And then there's more and more labels that are in the marketplace, which then increases consumer awareness.
Yeah.
So it will continue to grow for sure. And there's more and more labels will be in the marketplace. And as I mentioned before, I think more and more product categories will start getting the labels as more and more companies continue to get certification.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here, Alana. I really, really appreciate the conversation and appreciate unpacking certification, because it's not something that people do on a regular basis. And as quilters and textile artists, most of the time, we just want to go do our thing and be creative and don't always think about this other side of things. And I think it's important to understand it.
Right. Right. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's good. Nice. You know, that got me thinking about how much power we do have as consumers. And really, we do have so much power. If we start asking our local retail shop to bring in a specific product because we want to see the label, then they're going to go back to their suppliers and say, look, we're starting to get asked for this label now. And those suppliers are going to start looking for manufacturers and producers that have those certifications. So there is so much power in what you are willing to buy. And take that with you the next time you go to your local store and start looking for these products and start asking for them. The next time you go to a show and there you're looking around at the different vendors that are there, take a look, ask the questions. I think it's really, really important. And I think the more we do that, the more we are going to start to see this transparency from manufacturers and producers. And, you know, whether it's the Okotex labeling or the GOTS labeling with organics or the Global Recycling Standard, whatever those labels and certifications are, all of them are making great strides and great efforts towards having better, healthier, safer materials for us at the end of the day. So they're all worthwhile, and no one is necessarily better or worse than the other. They're different, and they all have different niches, and they all have different purposes. So I think that there's value in supporting them. Anyway, so that's what I want you to take away from this episode, is that you have power in your buying habits and what you ask for. So take it with you the next time you go shopping and ask for it. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I look forward to connecting with you again soon. If you're interested in a community that engages with sustainability in quilting and textiles, you can join the Learning Hub at bridgetoflaherty.com. There you will find memberships, online courses, supplies, and resources for sustainability and my textile art. You can also book me to speak with or teach your group. You can find me on social media at The Sustainable Quilter. Don't forget to comment, like, and share, and to follow me on your favorite podcast app so you won't miss an episode. Thanks for joining me, and I'm so excited to share this journey with you. Until next time, happy stitching.